This morning's scripture reading is taken from Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 18. That's Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 18. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth with a vessel, or putteth under a bed, but seeth it on a candlestick, that they which enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whomever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have.
I would like to take this opportunity to welcome you here this morning. We're very happy that you've come our way. It is particularly gratifying, at least to me, and I'm sure to other members of his family as well, to see Nicholas Blake back with us this morning after his long stay from us with the United States Navy. We wish him all of the good will that we can, and hope as he continues his career in that service that everything will work well with him. You can't help but be a little nervous in time of war, and so we want to keep our young people who are in the armed services in our prayers constantly, as well as those who are not members of this congregation, that they may come home to us well when their time of service is completed. This morning I want to begin a two-part lesson that I have simply called hearing. One of the most complex and difficult of all human endeavors is communication. We strive to do it all the time, don't we? We call it talking and listening. Sometimes a wife will say to her husband, "You're not listening to me." To which he will secretly think, "That's right, I'm not." Sometimes a husband will say to his wife, "Sweetheart, how many times have I told you that?" And she thinks, "I don't know and I don't care." Communication between human beings, although we are among the most peculiar of all of the creatures that live upon this earth, in that we have learned to develop language, or God has given us the ability to develop language, and even different languages, and He has given us the ability to learn other languages, to speak other languages, and to hear other languages, yet one of the most difficult things that we do is to communicate. Because you see, there is so much room for misunderstanding. In any communication, at the very least, it involves speaking or sending out a message, such as I'm doing this morning, and hearing or the reception of that message, which I hope you are doing this morning. Many things interrupt in the channel of communication. Noises around us will sometimes do that. But one of the things that interrupts in the channel of communication is how we hear. Our Lord Jesus Christ, although He was the most perfect teacher that this world has ever seen, many in the day when He was upon this earth did not profit at all from His teaching because of the manner in which they heard Him. It is the utmost importance that he be heard in the proper way. He set forth this very clearly in the 18th verse, or the first part of the 18th verse of the 8th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke recorded in this passage that our Lord said, "Therefore take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given." In other words, to whoever listens carefully, he will learn more and more. "And whoever does not have," or whoever does not accept the teachings, "even that which he seems to have will be taken from him." Did you ever think you knew something very, very well, and you just sort of ignored it for a while, came back to it in your mind, and it just wasn't there like it had been before, was it? Well, that's what Jesus is saying, in effect, here. How we hear is the manner, or the attitude, in which or with which one hears anything. I heard a little rhyme one time that told of a man who came into services of the church. And when the preacher stepped into the pulpit, he said to himself, "Now I sit me down to sleep. The sermon's long and the subject's deep. If he should quit before I wake, somebody give me a little shake." My recommendation is that you don't shake him. Just let him sit there. One time when I was teaching at Ohio Valley College, now University, down in Parkersburg, West Virginia, I had a student, particularly on Monday morning at the 8 o'clock class, who liked to go to sleep. I don't know what he was doing all weekend, but he was certainly sleepy on Monday morning. So thinking that he could pass my class without any difficulty whatsoever, he took advantage of taking a nap every Monday morning. Several times I awakened him. And one day I said to him, "If you don't stay awake in my class, one of these days this class is going to leave you and you won't even know it." So, verily, I looked over one Monday morning and there he sat. You know. So I gave the class a signal. Quiet, very silently. The class is excused. Leave by that door and this door. Make no noise. That's what the signals meant. The members of the class all got up and tippy-toed out. 3 hours later, when the second class came in and abruptly woke him, he had no idea what was going on in this world. He never slept in my class again. I told him the truth. The class will leave you. It is important that we have the proper attitude when, particularly when the Word of God is being spoken. Other things may not be so important. And so in these lessons, we will study how some heard Jesus. And in this first lesson, we're going to consider that some simply would not hear him at all. Others heard him, but only with critical ears. And some heard with irritated ears as well. Now, when I talk about critical ears, or not hearing him at all, or irritated ears, I'm talking about the kind of attitude that was in their minds and hearts when they heard Jesus speak. As we study these matters, we need to examine our own style of hearing the Word of God. And I hope that we will. Let's begin by looking at the fact that some would not hear him at all. You've all heard the expression, probably used it, "I turned a deaf ear." What's that mean? Does that mean that you didn't listen to what was said? No. Does it mean you didn't hear what was said? No. It simply means you didn't pay any attention to what was said and could not recall it were your life depending upon it. In Matthew 13:15, it is recorded that Jesus said, "For the hearts of this people," and incidentally he's quoting from the book of Isaiah here, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." And so you see, one of the purposes of communication is the purpose to cause someone else to understand in his or her heart. And the purpose of the communication of Christ was to cause us to understand in our hearts that we might turn to him so that he might heal us of our sins. These were no different from those of whom Zacharias spoke when he wrote in his description of the Jews in Zechariah 7:11, but they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. I have had people tell me on occasion, I didn't want to hear that sermon this morning. And I would reply, well, I hope you did anyway. I've never had anyone just sit in the pew and stick their fingers in their ears, but they have done the same thing mentally without ever hearing. These words describe the people in the days of Jesus as well as they describe the people in the days of Zechariah. Others closed their ears for other reasons. For example, the rich young ruler closed his ears to the pleas of Jesus because of his possessions. Of him, Matthew recorded in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 22, but when the young man heard this saying, what saying? Go, sell what you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. When he heard that saying, he went away. He closed his ears. He went away sorrowful, but he still closed his ears and went away, didn't he? Why? For or because he had great possessions. You know, money talks. Most of the time, mine says goodbye. But also, sometimes it whispers, keep me, get more of me, get me more of me. That's called covetousness in the Bible. We call it greed here in America. He heard what Jesus said up to a point, but the last requirement was simply too great for him to consider, so he stopped listening and went away. The Bible says that Jesus was sorrowful for he loved him. We must all truly desire the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, and it is recorded in Matthew 7:24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And you remember the rest of it, don't you? The winds blew, the rains fell, the flood came, and it stood because it was founded upon a rock. What rock was it upon which it was founded? The sayings of Jesus. He also said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5:6. One way we are satisfied when we are hungering and thirsting for righteousness is to hear, accept, and obey the Word of God. Some heard Jesus with critical ears. You know, it's often difficult to please people. It doesn't seem to make much difference what you do, what you think, or what you say. They're not happy. Jesus spoke to this fact when he said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 through 19, but to what shall I liken this generation? Now, he's talking to the Jews who were living at the time he was. To what shall I liken this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you and you didn't dance. We wanted to play party and dance, but you wouldn't do it. They went on to say, we mourned to you, but you did not lament. We wanted to play funeral and you wouldn't go along with it. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at the glutton and the winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom's justified by our children. In other words, the people to whom Jesus preached, or at least a portion of them, were not satisfied with anything that he had to say or anything that he did, as we're learning so carefully in our study of the last hours of Jesus upon this earth in the adult Bible class. As a result of their cantankerous attitudes, they often tried to trick Jesus into saying something that they wanted him to say. For example, in Matthew 22:15 through 22, It is recorded that the Pharisees in that day plotted against Jesus. And so they wanted to entangle him in his talk, and they ask him a question. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? I expect if I had been the Lord, I'd have probably said, you're going to do it whether you like it or not. Why the question? But Jesus did not approach it from that point of view. Jesus replied, why do you test me, you hypocrites? That's kind of strong, but that's what they were, and that's what they were doing. They were trying to trick him up in his speech. Jesus knew precisely what these people planned, didn't he? If he said no, the Romans were going to get him. If he said yes, the Jews would hate him. So they thought, we'll put him between a rock and a hard place and squeeze him accordingly. Well, he challenged them. Show me the tax money. Luke says, let me see the penny. And so one of them handed him a coin. After seeing the coin, Jesus asked, whose image and inscriptions on this coin? They replied, belongs to Caesar. Oh, look at the godly wisdom. Jesus then said, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. You give Caesar his tribute. It's got his picture on it. It's got his inscription on it. Give it to him. Belongs to him. But you give to God what belongs to him. And in this case, it was to recognize Jesus as the Messiah, which many of them did not do. This attitude toward Jesus has not changed greatly. Look at today's people who listen only critically to what Jesus has to say. There are atheists. They say, I don't care what you say. I'm not going to believe in God. I had a man one time who was a member of the church say, I don't care what the Bible says. This is what I think. And so I just got up and walked out of his house and went home. Because when you tell me, Seth, that you don't care what the Bible says, I don't have any more to say to you if we're going to have a religious discussion. Now, if you want to talk about politics, I don't want to talk about politics. Then there are the infidels. They say, well, I believe in God, sure enough, but I'm not really sure that Jesus Christ was who he claimed to be. There's a whole bunch of them running around over this nation doing all kinds of research, as they call it, called the Jesus Seminar. Then there are modernists and liberals of all kinds. They even pay lip service to Jesus. But they don't accept him. Then there are the postmodernists. Postmodernism has wreaked great havoc upon the Lord's church. Men who were once great preachers among us. Men who were once great church builders among us. Men who once cared about the souls of dying men and women among us have turned from the gospel of Jesus Christ to the theories, pet theories I might add, of postmodernism. And they have rejected almost totally what the Bible teaches about instrumental music, even about baptism and its necessity for salvation. Postmodernism has taken its toll. Then there's the Jesus Seminar. If there was anything in the world that was ever misnamed, it was this. Because they go around trying to figure out what Jesus said that we find in our New Testaments and what he didn't say, what he did and what he didn't do. Do you know what? They don't accept a one of his moral teachings as coming from Jesus, and they do not recognize one of his miracles as being legitimate. What are they? They're a bunch of atheists who like to talk about Jesus. Even some brethren come to find fault with Christ and with his glorious gospel, as I've already mentioned. One man saying, you pray the sinner's prayer and then you can be baptized sometime whenever you get around to it. Where is that found in Scripture? Is that what our Lord said? On the very day that he resurrected from the dead, he said to his apostles, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He didn't say he that believes and prays a sinner's prayer can be baptized later if he wants to be. But we have at least one brother. Maybe his brother Harold Anderson used to say he's now a half-brother. But we have at least one brother who has taught that publicly and on the radio to hundreds of thousands of people in his home state. He's got a bad attitude when it comes to listening to Jesus. Now, will this ever stop? No, it never will. It never will. We needn't expect that. Let us, when I say us, I mean those of us who are Christians, never come to Jesus with critical ears, but with honest and submissive ears. One might ask the question, well, why not? Why can't I criticize what Jesus had to say? Because Jesus said concerning his words, the words that I speak to you are spirit or spiritual, and they are life. No life without the words of Jesus. What was it that Jesus said in John 12:48? He who rejects my words has that which judges him in the last day. The words which I have spoken to you, the same shall judge you in the last day. Rather than being critical of the words of Jesus, our attitude should be like that of the Apostle Paul in the same context, or the Apostle Peter, rather, in the same context. Jesus said, will you go away from me too? Will you go away and quit listening? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. John 6:68b. One translation of that verse says, you alone have the words of eternal life. Now, the word alone does not occur in the Textus Receptus, but there are some Greek manuscripts in which it does occur. But it is nevertheless true that words of eternal life come from Jesus. How do we hear? How do we listen? Some people listen if they like the preacher. Some people don't if they don't. What has that to do with the price of pearls in Persia? Is he speaking the truth is the question, not whether or not he's even a likable critter. Some heard Jesus with vexed or irritated ears. Many disliked what Jesus had to say because he exposed their sins and their hypocrisy. Folks, it is never pleasant, is it, to have your sins exposed, either accidentally or purposefully, is it? No, it never is. There is no pleasure, for example, of being caught by the law, brought into court, indicted, tried, and found guilty. There's no pleasure in that. There's no pleasure for if the preacher preaches on stealing for the thief in the audience. There's no pleasure in that. But sometimes the preaching of the Word of God is not intended to be pleasurable. Sometimes it's intended to be corrective. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all patience and doctrine. In John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, Jesus told Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews who came to him by night, some very important things about listening and responding. And he began with this. And this is the condemnation, that the light, he refers to himself as light here, has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You know, if you committed sin, it's bad sin. If I committed some mistake, did you ever notice that? A sin is a sin whether I commit it or you commit it or whoever commits it. And I wish, oh, how I pray, that those of us in the church would come to that manner of dealing with sin, because only then will we truly repent and find salvation. Refusing the reproof of the Lord, men persist living in darkness spiritually. Jesus went on to tell Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. I saw a program on television the other night about a man who was found guilty of a terrible crime and sentenced to prison for the rest of his life. No hope of parole. And he told the prosecuting attorney and the judge, as he was being led out of the courtroom, "You guys would have done well to have had me executed, because I'll get both of you." A few months later, from prison, after making a connection with a gang, he ordered the execution of the prosecutor, and it was done. The prosecutor was murdered. He waited a few months, ordered the execution from his prison cell of the judge, and the judge was summarily murdered. You see, this man hated the correction from which he might have benefited had he not been so deeply involved in crime. Jesus said everyone practicing evil hates the teachings of the gospel, hates the teachings of Christ, and does not come to that. Why? Because their deeds are going to be exposed, if not to the world, at least to them. Those who have no interest in living purer and better lives have no time for the word of Christ. It rubs them the wrong way, doesn't it? And sometimes they'll say, as this brother said to me, "I don't care what the Bible says, I think." By way of contrast, in verse 21, Jesus told Nicodemus, "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." When I open this sacred volume and I find something that condemns something that I've been doing, it's good for me to know that. Why? Because I will go to my knees in repentance and prayer and hold my hope for eternal life. Those who are interested in living purer and holier lives receive the word of Jesus with gladness of heart. The Bible says the common people heard him gladly. These are important words for all. And that's probably one of the reasons that we oftentimes sing in our church services, "Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life." Peter and John also vexed the ears of the Sadducees when they preached Christ's resurrection. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 tells us, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead." See, the Sadducees didn't believe in that. They're going to do something about it. "And they laid hold on them," or laid hands on them, "and put them in custody," threw them into jail, we would say, until the next day, when they intended to try them, because it was evening and I guess they didn't want to miss supper or something like that. But you see, oftentimes a message from God disturbs greatly. Stephen did likewise, and the result was even more horrific. They stoned him to death. Men often go out of control when one irritates their ears with the words of Jesus. Dear hearer, what kind of ears have you? Are your ears deaf, critical, or vexed when it comes to the Word of God? I hope not. We hope and pray that this is not the case. We pray that your ears are open to the truth of God, and that you're ready to receive it happily, gladly, eagerly, earnestly, and a whole bunch of other adverbs that ought to go in there if I could think of them. Today, Jesus speaks to us through his word, and only through his word. We beg you to receive his word and be ready to do whatever he asks you to do, that you may be saved both in time and in eternity. His commands are not difficult in any way. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy." I believe him. In order to be forgiven of all past sins, You need to only believe with all of your heart that He is God's Son and your Savior. You need to repent and turn away from the sin that's in your life. It isn't helping you anyway. It's doing no good for you. You need to confess that you truly believe in the very depth of your being, with all your heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you need to confess that in the presence of another person or the presence of other persons. And also you need to be baptized or immersed into His death for the remission of sins. Now, were I to desire to do so, and you were to demand it, I can stand right here and give you a quotation from Jesus for every one of these things. He'll cleanse you from every sin. He'll make for you a place in His church. He'll make you a citizen in His kingdom. If you are a Christian, but are not faithful to your calling, you can be restored to the place from which you have fallen by repenting of all sin. That means change your mind, then change your life to be in accordance with your mind change. Repenting of all sin that's taken you away from Christ and from His people or His church. By confessing all public sin of which you're guilty. Secret sins, confess to God. And by praying with brothers and sisters who love you, that God may forgive all that is amiss in your life. And God's eager to do that. He'll gladly do so. And so I urge you, unfaithful brother or sister, or unchristian friend who may be in our audience, come to Jesus at this very moment while we stand together and sing the invitation song.
There's a mountain tree just for you.